So this is Ron in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra. Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM. Listener supported for open ears.
Well, hello there. I am Neva Wartell, host of Music for the Masses, inviting you to join me every Sunday from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on an excursion of sound and rhythm, where we discover how much amazing music comes from places in the world you may be familiar with, or you've wondered about, or maybe never even heard of. Music for the Masses comes to you live from Catskill every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. only on listener-supported, solar-powered, community-based radio for open ears, open minds, and open hearts. 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Suitable for the avid globehopper and armchair traveler alike. You might want to pack a map and a sandwich.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir. Llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456. Mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Anya from Rock and Roll High School, Los Angeles, California. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
You are tuned into a rebroadcast of a past live WGXC show.
Sounds like it is constantly being added to.
Yeah, so you can go to olana.org if you're interested in learning more about...
Hello, this is Liliana.
I'm Danaya.
And I'm Badila.
And we're from Perfect 10 After School,
a wonderful club for girls in Hudson, New York.
And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra.
Community radio for Columbia and Greene counties.
Perfect 10 girls got it going on.
Oh, yeah.
Will you find your way out of the blue? Will it be my flat or your apartment? When I finally realize I do, will we meet on Baker Street or find ourselves on the Rose Avenue? Something about what love means.
means to me. Maybe it's just circumstance or general compatibility. I don't know who you are, but I'll save you a seat. Hang my coat on a chair. Try to reassure the waiter, say you're down the street, he'd love to meet. So here's to you, the most beautiful thing that I have never seen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXC, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. And if you don't know what Clubhouse Radio is, it's where we talk about mental health, recovery, and the local community in Greene and Columbia County and the surrounding areas. Today, I'm your host, DJ Cola, and this is the last show before Christmas. So Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays, and I hope you guys enjoy. We're going to go into one more song, and then we're going to be back with today's show. It's a pretty good one, so hope you guys are hyped. We're going to go into Eyes Blue Like the Titanic, and then we're going to be right back. Hope you guys enjoy.
Looking like a clown for you, surround sound speaker shook the crown while he was pounding you, and that's a lot to take in. I heard a noise through the door and had to break in. Shock up on your faces, both of you were naked, multiple occasions. Y'all were getting busy while I'm busy at my day shift. You kept your briefcases, situation tasteless. Even hooked up with the dude while you were jamming to my playlist. Wow. Hey Alexa, I'ma off him, or maybe run away, because I'm sick of all the problems going down and I can't even see the bottom. But I promise I'ma find it once I finish up this bottle.
Sky's blue like the Atlantic and I'm going down like the Titanic. Sky's blue like the Atlantic and I'm going down, going down. Sky's blue like the Atlantic and I'm going down like the Titanic.
Yeah, I'm still going down. I'll be falling for a long time. I so innocent, I didn't know you had a bad side. Yeah, it's kinda weird, these emotions all attacking me. I don't want the answer, but how long this been happening? Deep down, see the sea ground, I'm getting close. I don't wanna sit and whine, we already toast. I love the show, but I won't see the second season. It won't be the same with my favorite person leaving.
Eyes blue like the Atlantic and I'm going down like the Titanic. Eyes blue like the Atlantic and I'm going down, going down. And so the story goes, love grows and then it gets cut down, then crumbles like a rose and decomposes in the ground. It's tragic, I suppose, like dominoes, how it goes down. The teardrops on the pillows have been knocked all over the ground. But fear not, there's no fear, my dear, cause here it all works out. The clothes will dry, the tears will disappear, and from the ground a rose will rise, and from the skies the sun will break the clouds. A rose will rise and blue skies will surround.
Eyes blue like the Atlantic and I'm going down like the Titanic. Eyes blue like the Atlantic and I'm going down, going down.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXC, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Yes, it is almost Christmas, but since the oversaturation of Christmas music around this time, we're going to play some normal music, just to have a little variety, because I'm pretty sure that every other, if not every radio station is going to be jamming out to some Christmas music. And there's nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with getting festive and into the seasons, but it's nice to have a little variety. So starting off today's show, we're going to shout out some community events. First of all, we have Free Play Fridays with Miss Jess and Miss Bathsheba at the Palinville Library. This happens every Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Join us as we gather for a casual morning of fun. Suggested ages 1 through 5. Now, I love this background music, but it's a little bit on the sadder side, and today's a happy show, so we're going to change it up just a little bit. I'm feeling... Yeah, this is going to be perfect. You know what? No, even better. Here we go. Perfect. Sorry that took me a second, guys. So yeah, the second event that we're going to shout out today is an annual free Christmas Day dinner. Delivery begins at 2 p.m. within a 10-mile radius. Pick up between 3 to 5 p.m. Pickup is available to anybody. Must call 518-491-4806 or 518-291-7737 by 12/23/25 to guarantee a meal. Limited dinners may be available without reservation. So, if you know somebody that's interested in this, or you're interested in this yourself, make sure to call 518-491-4806 or 518-291-7736 to guarantee a meal. Next off, we have the Catskill Food Pantry. So this will not be open next week, unfortunately, but the week after that, we're going to be coming back. Don't worry. This is every Friday, except the 26th. We are going to be closing for Christmas, but every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. at 50 William Street, Catskill, New York. The Parish Hall of St. Luke's Church, 50 William Street, to be specific. Healthy food is all right. And last but not least, we have the Clear Mind Club. Speak up, level up, and make a difference. So you're probably wondering, what is the Clear Mind Club? It's a free after-school club for ages 10 to 15 at the Carroll Library. The Clear Mind Club is a fun after-school space to make art, play games, and use your voice. It is 4 to 6 p.m. on the first and third Thursdays of the month. Perks include leadership skills, swag, and snacks. Now, who doesn't love some good snacks? And community service hours as well. And you need those to graduate in New York now, so might as well get them chilling at an after-school club. So this takes place at the Caro Library, and it is 4 to 6 p.m. on the first and third Thursdays. So yeah. Now that we're done with the community events, we're going to go into a quick song break. We're going to play a short one. And then we're going to talk about Christmas and some other winter holidays around this time. I think we're going to go into Comfort Crowd by Conan Gray. And we will be right back. I hope you guys have been enjoying the show so far. So without further ado, hope you guys enjoy.
Screaming, someone come and help me. But by the time that they're, I've already hit the body. My breath's getting short and I'm unsteady. Welling up in tears as I lay upon your belly. Telling you I'm fine, I don't really need nobody. But you see through a sigh that I said that lie already. I just needed company now. Yeah, I just needed someone around. Yeah, I don't care what's up.
is soggy. Yeah, I just needed company now. Yeah, I just needed someone around. Yeah, I don't care what song that we play or mess that we make, just company. Someone around. Yeah, I don't care what song that we play or mess that we make, just company now. Comfort crowd.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back, welcome back. We just got done with Comfort Crowd by Conan Gray and listening off some community events. I think next we're gonna go into some fun facts about Christmas, and then we're gonna lead into some other holidays around the same time, the other variety of winter holidays. So first of all, we're gonna start with the poster boy itself, Christmas. So a lot of you guys are probably wondering, how did Christmas start? Well, the middle of winter has long been a time of celebration around the world. Centuries before the arrival of the man called Jesus, early Europeans celebrated light and birth in the darkest days of winter. Many people rejoiced during the winter solstice when the worst of winter was behind them, and they could look forward to longer days and extended hours of sunlight. By the way, this is from history.com, the History Channel. So, if you guys are wondering where I'm getting this info, yeah, and you guys can check it out yourselves at history.com/articles/history of Christmas if you would like. No pressure at all. So continuing this little fun fact, narration of Christmas. In Scandinavia, the Norse celebrated Yule for several days starting on the winter solstice. And that is Yule, spelled Y-U-L-E. So December 21st, sometimes December 22nd. In recognition of the return of the sun, fathers and sons would bring home large logs and set them on fire. Now that's true primal celebration right there. I don't know what it is about humans and their fascination with fire and burning things, but, you know, I'm signing up for that too. I want to celebrate Christmas by burning a huge log. That sounds fun, bro. But yeah, after they would set the large fire, the people would feast until the log burned out, which could take as many as 12 days. Now, honestly, Yule is kind of sounding a little bit better than Christmas for me. Like, Christmas is cool. Exchanging gifts and being with family is always a good time. But 12 days of feasting? Imagine Thanksgiving, but 12 days. Your boy would be putting on 12 pounds per day. That would be a good time right there. The Norse believed that each spark from the fire represented a new pig or calf that would be born during the coming year. Man, what if it like rained on it and there was no sparks on the fire? That'd be pretty sad. Side tangent aside, the end of December was a perfect time for celebration in most areas of Europe. At that time of year, most cattle would be slaughtered, so they would not have to be fed during the winter. And, you know, so the people can eat too. For many, it was the only time of year when they had a supply of fresh meat. In addition, most wines and beers during the year were finally fermented and ready for drinking. So the perfect time, too. In Germany, people honored the pagan god Odin during the midwinter holiday. Germans were terrified of Odin, as they believed he made nocturnal flights through the sky to observe his people and then decide who would prosper or perish. Because of his presence, many people chose to stay inside. So that's the first part, right? That's Yule. And this is the tradition that kind of spun into Christmas. There is also, now excuse my pronunciation of this, Saturnalia. In Rome, where winters were not as harsh as those in the far north, people celebrated Saturnalia in honor of Saturn. So Saturn Day, Saturnalia, whatever you want to call it. He was the god of old agriculture. Beginning in the week leading up to the winter solstice and continuing for a full month, Saturnalia was a hedonistic time where food and drink were plentiful. So humans just seem to naturally gravitate to celebrate when the cold times are ending. I feel like it's a pretty human thing to not like being stuck in the cold, being stuck inside and not being able to expend your energy. So, yeah. So, is Christmas really the day Jesus was born? In the early years of Christianity, Easter was the main holiday. The first recorded Christmas that celebrated the birth of Jesus is often cited as AD 336. However, some historical evidence suggests that the observance dates back as far as the 2nd century, certainly by the 4th century. Church officials had decided to institute the birth of Jesus as a holiday, yet the Bible does not mention date for his birth. So, since the Bible doesn't mention Jesus' birth, humans just kind of said, we're going to celebrate it around this time, because this time we need celebration. And we kind of picked up some of the early traditions, and that is how Christmas begun. So, we also talked a bit about Yule, you know, Yuletide, Yule, whatever you want to call it as well. Now, this was observed historically by German peoples. In modern times, primarily by neo-pagans. So yeah, we talked a bit about it. A lot of feasts, you know, getting a log and setting it on fire. That sounds pretty fun. And of course, Odin. I didn't expect the one on Christmas to talk about Yule so much, even though they are very heavily correlated. So I think we've learned a fair bit about Yule. Now, this happens around the winter solstice. We're going to be changing gear here from history.com to kidsnationalgeographic.com. So, what is the winter solstice? It's the shortest day of the year, but also brings the promise of more daylight ahead. For people in the northern hemisphere above the equator, like the US, winter is a season of cold, dark days. And if you're lucky, lots of snow to sled on. The winter solstice marks the exact moment when half of the Earth is tilted the farthest away from the sun. It usually happens on December 21st or 22nd, at the exact same second around the world. So, yeah, for some reason, it can be on the 21st, for some reason, it can be on the 22nd. Nature does not abide by a schedule, so it's kind of a flip of the coin, you feel me? For people who live in the southern hemisphere, the winter solstice takes place in June. So, you know, summer solstice in the northern hemisphere is winter solstice in the southern hemisphere, and vice versa. Yeah. For many people, the winter solstice marks a changing of fall to winter. But there's a difference between the winter solstice, called the astronomical first day of winter, and the first day of the winter season, which is called the meteorological first day of winter. Each year, meteorologists, people who study weather and climate, determine the first day of winter season based on the temperature records. In the United States, winter lasts about 90 days. Scientists often tie it to the calendar so that winter falls during the latter part of December, January, February, and the early part of March. One myth is that the winter solstice is actually the coldest day of the year, but the coldest temperatures are often still at least a month away. So while, you know, the days start to get longer and it's not, you know, pitch dark out at 5 p.m., it's still going to be very cold. Or as my grandpa would say, mucho frio. And a lot of you guys are probably wondering, can you see the solstice? It's like, kind of. On the winter solstice, if you stand outside at noon and look at your shadow, it will be the longest shadow you cast the entire year. So that's a neat fun fact as well. And honestly, I am definitely looking forward for Christmas, but this year, with seasonal affective disorder, kicking my butt, or also known as seasonal depression. Just the winter solstice is going to be a celebrating day as well. And if you're in Catskill, because we do broadcast the Acre Catskill in Hudson, Main Street holds a winter solstice celebration too, where we set fires in the roads and a bunch of businesses give away free stuff. It's pretty cool. Happens on Main Street. I don't have an exact time for it yet, but yeah, you know, it's going to be on Sunday, so that's pretty cool. That's actually my friend's birthday. Neat. Look at that. Shout out to him. He knows who he is. I ain't going to dox my boy on live radio, though. Don't worry. Don't worry. So now that we've read a little bit about Christmas, Yule, and the winter solstice, and you guys are tired of hearing me yap, I think it's time to go into another song break. We're going to go into Mulberry Street by 21 Pilots. Hope you guys enjoy. And when we get back, we're going to talk about Hanukkah and Bodhi Day. So yeah, if you guys want to learn more, stick around. And if you guys want to jam to some music, stick around as well. Without further ado, let's get into this thing.
Move out of our way. We're pushing sideways. lips, pale face, breathing in snowflakes, burnt lungs, sour taste. Lights gone, days end, struggling to pay rent, long nights, strange men. They say she's in the class 18, stuck in her daydream. Been this way since 18, but lately her face seems slowly sinking, wasting, crumbling like pastries. And they scream the worst things in life come free to us, 'cause we're just under the upper hand. I'm going mad for a couple grams, and she don't wanna go outside tonight. And in a pipe she flies to the motherland, or sells love to another man. It's too cold outside for angels to fly, for angels to fly. Just under the upper hand, I'm going mad for a couple grams, but she don't wanna go outside tonight. And in a pipe she flies to the motherland, sells love to another man. It's too cold outside for angels to fly. An angel will die covered in white. I'm hoping for a better life. This time we'll fade out tonight, straight down the line. They say she's in the class 18, stuck in her daydream. This way since 18, but lately her face seems slowly sinking, wasting, crumbling like pastries. They scream the worst things in life come free to us, and we're all under the upper hand. I'm going mad for a couple grams, and we don't wanna go outside tonight. In the pipe fly to the motherland, or sell love to another man. It's too cold outside for angels to fly. Angels to fly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXC, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. And if you don't know what Clubhouse Radio is, it's where we talk about mental health, recovery, and the local community in Greene and Columbia counties. Today, I'm your host, DJ Cola, and so far, we've ramped you a few things. We did some community events, and then we listed off some alternatives to Christmas, as well as the origins of Christmas. You know, we went into how Christmas started. Next off, we have two holidays we're going to be covering next. We got Hanukkah and Bodhi Day. So we're going to do Hanukkah first and then jump into Bodhi Day. We're going to read just a little bit here. This is history.com. This comes from the History Channel. If you guys would like to read from the source, no pressure. Just want to give credit where credit is due. So, the history and origins of Hanukkah. Let us begin. The events that inspired the Hanukkah holiday took place during a particular turbulent phase of Jewish history. Around 200 BC, Judea, also known as the land of Israel, came under the control of, excuse my pronunciation, Antiochus III, the Seleucid king of Syria, who allowed the Jews who lived there to continue practicing their religion. His son, Antiochus IV Epiphanes, sorry once again for my butchered pronunciations, proved less benevolent. Ancient sources recount that he outlawed the Jewish religion and ordered the Jews to worship Greek gods. In 168 BC, his soldiers descended upon Jerusalem, massacring thousands of people and desecrating the city's holy second temple by erecting an altar to Zeus and sacrificing pigs, a non-kosher food, within its sacred walls. Led by the Jewish priest Matthias and his five sons, a large-scale rebellion broke out against Antiochus IV and the Seleucid monarchy. When Matthias died in 166 BC, his son Judah took the helm and became known as Judah Maccabee, or the Hit. Within 2 years, the Maccabees and other Jews had successfully driven the Syrians out of Jerusalem, largely by relying on guerrilla warfare tactics. Judah called on his followers to cleanse the second temple, rebuild its altar, and light its menorah, the gold candelabrum, whose seven branches representing creation and the tree of life were meant to be kept burning every night as a symbol of the god's light. According to the Talmud, one of the Judaism's most central texts, Judah Maccabee and the other Jews who took part in the rededication of the second temple witnessed what they believed to be a miracle. Even though there was only enough untainted olive oil to keep the menorah's candles burning for a single day, the flames continued flickering for 8 nights, leaving them to find a fresh supply. This wondrous event inspired the Jewish sages to proclaim an annual 8-day festival. So that's why Hanukkah is 8 days. The first book of the Maccabees tells another version of the story, describing an 8-day celebration that followed the rededication, but no reference to the miracle of oil. So yeah, that's how Hanukkah came to be. Nowadays, many traditions include dreidels, gifting somebody a gift on each day of Hanukkah, etc., etc. Now, me personally, I do not celebrate Hanukkah, but I think it's important to talk about other holidays around this time of year, because Christmas, I feel like, takes up a lot of the spotlight. Now, we're going to go into the holiday I found the most interesting that takes place around the same time, Bodhi Day. This is a Buddhist holiday. Buddhists around the world celebrate it. Also known as Buddha's Enlightenment Day, it commemorates when Siddhartha Gautama attained awakening or enlightenment around 2,600 years ago, becoming the Buddha. This background music is a bit too loud. I'm gonna turn it down just a bit. And change it up too. yes, this is much more my style. So back into, I keep on forgetting it every time I change tabs. It's a very hard word for me to remember. Bodhi Day. Thankfully, Buddhists be chill like that, so they're not going to get mad at me. So, when is Bodhi Day celebrated? Japan celebrates on December 8th, following the Western calendar. But what does Bodhi mean? You're probably wondering. Bodhi comes from a verb in Sanskrit, in Pali, that means to awaken or awakened. In Buddhism, it's generally understood to mean enlightenment. Siddhartha Gautama spent years seeking the answer to the problem of suffering. Finally, he attained awakening and became the Buddha while meditating under a peepal tree in Bodh Gaya, a village in the northeastern Indian state of Bihar. So yeah. Celebrates every December 8th, and it does vary elsewhere in East Asia, but generally the holiday falls between the winter solstice and the Lunar New Year, so right around the same time as Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all of them good holidays. How did Siddhartha Gautama achieve enlightenment? So we're going to breeze through this, since this is more about Buddhism than the holiday itself. Obviously, you can't have Bodhi Day without Buddhism, though. So it happened after years of spiritual seeking and meditation, including gaining insights into the ultimate nature of existence, in particular, the origins of human suffering, the cycle of birth and death, also known as samsara, and the path to liberation, known as nirvana. Which Buddhist traditions observe Bodhi Day? Not all Buddhists celebrate Bodhi Day. It is most common in East Asia's Buddhist Mahayana traditions found in Japan, Korea, and Vietnam. In Japan's Zen Buddhist schools, it is known as Rohatsu, meaning the eighth day of the 12th month. And for those of you wondering where I'm getting this information, it is nbclosangeles.com. So shout out to them. You guys can check it out if you want. No pressure. I'm reading off of this and adding my own input as we go along. So how do you celebrate it? We talked about how it came to be, right? But we're going to get into the meat. That's ironic because I don't believe Buddhists eat meat. But you guys get the analogy. Observances vary, but celebrants pray and read scriptures, sutras. Some decorate trees with colorful lights or candles, symbolizing Buddha's enlightenment, and have special family meals. Others engage in acts of kindness and generosity to reflect on the Buddhist's teaching and improve their karma. Some eat rice and milk, believed to be the substance that helped the Buddha make his final push for enlightenment. And what is the Bodhi tree? See, there's already a lot of parallels to Bodhi Day and Christmas, in my opinion. The tree Gautama meditated under is called the Bodhi tree, a tree of awakening. As a result, the ficus leaf became a Buddhist symbol. So I think that's actually pretty cool. I think it's even cooler than a Christmas tree, because Christmas tree, you know, just a tree to celebrate, to my knowledge, at least. But the Bodhi tree really has some symbolism and roots in the origin of the holiday, which is really cool. So yeah, that's a good summarization of Bodhi Day. I really want to celebrate that. I don't think I'm going to celebrate it this year because December 8th is usually when it's celebrated. Like I said, some different parts of the world celebrate it around different times. But I might have to plan a Bodhi Day for next year. The only downside that I can think of about Bodhi Day, and this is my opinion, this isn't fact or anything, this is just what I think. It seems to be one of the only of these winter holidays that don't include a feast. And you know, your boy loves food. So I think that's the only thing that's stopping it from being my personal favorite. Respectfully, of course. So yeah, I think we're going to go into another song break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some other things. We talked about the holidays around this time. But these celebrations and these holidays come from the fact that winter is cold and barren, and we survived it. And that's essentially why we're celebrating most of the time. So we're going to go into how did we survive the winter. Nowadays, we got heated housing, we got blankets, mass production of blankets and pillows and hot chocolate, so we can stay nice and cozy during the winter. But primitive man did not have the luxuries. So if you're interested in that, stick around, and we will be right back after a few songs. Without further ado, I hope you guys enjoy.
Take this path to run.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, broadcasting to you live on 90.7 FM WGXC. Today, I am your host, DJ Cola, and I hope you guys are enjoying this harsh, cold weather. It's a bit rough, but winter solstice is coming up soon, and on top of that, so is Christmas, and all the good holidays around this time, you know, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, some may have already passed, but, you know, it's our saving grace in a rough, cold, dark time like this, especially the food. That's my favorite part of the holidays, that's for sure. So far, we've went into some winter holidays, how they start, and the traditions that come along with them. We did some community events, and now we're going to go into a little bit of different history. We're going to be talking about how primitive humans survived the winter. Nowadays, we got indoor heating and blankets and fireplaces and hot cocoa, but back then, they didn't have all those luxuries. By the way, you are a real one if you recognize this background music. So, let's get right into this. This is also from history.com. I've been using a lot of their stuff, so shout out to them. You guys can check them out if you want. But I like to give credit where credit is due. Don't feel pressured. You're driving. Just be relaxed and keep your eyes open. You feel me? So, the most recent ice age peaked between 24,000 and 21,000 years ago. That is such a long time ago, my brain can't even comprehend that. But vast ice sheets covered North America and Northern Europe, and mountain ranges like Africa's Mount Kilimanjaro and South America's Andes were encased in glaciers. At that point, our Homo sapien ancestors had migrated from the warm African heartland into Northern European and Eurasian latitudes, severely impacted by the sinking temperatures. Armed with big, creative brains and sophisticated tools, these early modern humans, nearly identical to ourselves, physically not only survived, but thrived in their harsh surroundings. For our Homo sapiens forebears living during the last ice age, there was several critical advantages to having a large brain. Yeah, you gotta have that big brain. Humans may not be the strongest or the toughest, but we are the smartest. One of the most important things about Homo sapiens is that we had fluent speech, says Fagan, plus the ability to conceptualize and plan ahead. Now, there's some debate whether other close ancestors to us, like certain types of apes, can exhibit this. And there's some evidence that suggests that humans definitely do it the best. Nah, this is sad. Just changing up the background music for y'all. I'm trying to keep a nice, happy vibe for today. I think we're going to leave it on. Perfect. Holiday dream. Quite fitting. With the advent of language, knowledge about the natural world and new technologies could be shared between neighboring bands of humans, and also passed down from generation to generation via storytellers. They had institutional memory through symbolic storytelling, which gave them a relationship with the forces of the environment, the supernatural forces which governed their world. Also through music, dance, and art, our ancestors collected and transmitted vast amounts of information about the seasons, edible plants, animal migrations, weather patterns, and more. So far, the thing I'm taking away from this article is that humans survived because we're goated in our intelligence department. You know, big shout out to the YouTube channel Tier Zoo. They talk about different species on the Earth, like as a video game. And they gave our high stat to intelligence, and I don't think you could disagree with that. I mean, you could disagree with that, but I don't think you could convince me of that if you try. I'm very open-minded, but, I mean, we're just pretty smart. Not all of us, but the majority of humans are smarter than pretty much any other species. And another thing that makes us a notch higher than other animals is our ability to use tools. pools. The last ice age corresponds with the Upper Paleolithic period, in which humans made great leaps forward in tool making and weaponry, including the first tools used exclusively for making other tools. So we do see some tool use in like other species, like, you know, I mean, the comparison to apes before, that's another perfect example of a species that uses tools. But we're the only species that uses tools to make tools. This is full on toolception in humanity. So yeah, one of the most important of these were called burin, a humble looking rock chisel that was used to cut grooves and notches into bone and antler. So this is how we got spearheads, harpoon tips. We were using a burin. Oh, perfect background instrument, by the way. Like I said, huge shout out if you recognize what series this is from. So yeah, the summary of this article is that humans survived the Ice Age because we're smart. That's, you know, very, very simplified. There is much more intricacies to the survival of humans during the Ice Age. But yeah, now that we just got 5 minutes left, I think it's time to go into the word. Of obscure sorrows to read and then close out to some music. I like getting some nice inspirational music in the background. And like I said, this is from the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows. A very brief description of the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows is: the word sadness originally meant fullness, to be filled to the brim with some intensity of experience. It's not about despair or distraction or controlling how you're supposed to feel. It's about awareness, setting the focus to infinity and taking it all in. So it's pretty much words that the English language doesn't go into that much. Words for emotions that the English language is kind of lacking in the description department of. So today we have ferocia. Noun. The eerie tranquility of fast-moving clouds who pass through your patch of sky like a drifter stepping into your entryway to warm up for a minute, ruffling the ice from his beard before he nods his gratitude and turns back into the air. I love this book, for real. I think that was actually the last one we did. I think I accidentally picked the last one twice, or I accidentally had the last one up, so we're going to do a bonus one. I don't think...
You just heard a rebroadcast of a past live W...